Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome back to Chip Chat Live from the OpenStack Summit in Paris. I'm Allison Klein, and I'm with Kamish Pamaraju, Senior Product Manager for Cloud Solutions at Dell. Welcome, Kamish.
Hey, hi, Allison. How are you doing?
Good. So, Kamish, you have an interesting job at Dell. Why don't you talk to me about what your job scope is and how it relates to OpenStack?
Absolutely. So, I'm the Senior Product Manager for OpenStack Solutions at Dell. So, we've been doing this for the last almost 4 years now. Mm-hmm. So, as the product owner for OpenStack, my job is to work with customers, understand what their requirements are for building an open source-based private cloud or a public cloud, and kind of bring those solutions end-to-end to our customers. So that includes everything from Dell servers, networking, storage, software from our partners, and the entire, you know, professional services and support ecosystem. So that's kind of what we are trying to do, is to bring open source to the enterprise in such a way that customers get the technology and the innovation that OpenStack brings to the table, similar to what they're used to with commercial software.
So obviously we've gone under a pretty quick transformation in the last 4 years in terms of the types of capabilities that we're able to offer for an open source enterprise cloud. What has been the adoption like within your customer base from the early days to today, and what kind of trends are you seeing?
Yeah, interesting. So we started very, very early. Dell was on the table when Rackspace and NASA got together to create the OpenStack, you know, the project. So we were involved right from day one. Initially, it was all about service providers, folks that were kind of, think of them as being threatened by Amazon, right? So they were trying to find a way to build something similar within their data centers and provide it to their customers. And they saw OpenStack as a solution for that. So service providers, SaaS developers, even startups that wanted to go build something. Those were the kinds of people that were initially looking at OpenStack. And over the last year, as OpenStack matured, now those customers, the early customers, were pretty open source savvy. So they understood Linux, they understood the open source communities, they knew how to contribute back to the community, they were able to use and kind of work with the kinks, if you will, of OpenStack. But more recently, as of Grizzly and Icehouse and Havana, we're starting to see OpenStack itself mature. Mm-hmm. So now we're starting to see more what we call, quote unquote, mainstream enterprise customers, you know, people that are used to using VMware, Microsoft, as their, you know, preferred vendors for their virtualization initiatives, are starting to look at OpenStack seriously. So we're starting to see a lot of kicking off tires in that market. Mm-hmm. And over the last year, we have partnered with Red Hat, for example, to kind of cater to that customer market segment. So I think we're starting to see a lot more interest in that community. There's already adoption in the service provider market, the AT&Ts, the Verizons, the telcos of the world, many hosting providers, and even universities. We've seen them as being early adopters and even production users over time. So it's kind of where we are with OpenStack.
What is different about the enterprise environment and the underlying capabilities that they need in terms of a cloud OS, for lack of a better word, that meant that OpenStack had to evolve to address that market?
Yeah, I mean, clearly, we talk about the term enterprise grade quite a bit. And what that means, and in talking to various customers, certain themes emerge, right? There's one about security and trust, right, which is a critical kind of enterprise need. The other one is performance and SLA requirements. Not that it is not a requirement for, you know, service providers, but they have their own ways of dealing with it. Like I said, they are pretty savvy. Mm-hmm. They're do-it-yourselfers. They kind of build these things on along the way, and they probably already have tools to do that, but not the traditional enterprise, because the traditional enterprise gets these things from their vendors, and everything is there, right? It's already secure. It's already built with all the performance characteristics, and that's what they expect to see in OpenStack too. Even though it's open source, they like the innovation of OpenStack and open source that brings to the table, but at the same time, they want the performance, the SLA, the trust, the security, and effectively, you know, pick up the phone and call somebody, right? They need that support line in order to, you know, take production workloads and put them on OpenStack. So we're starting to see a little bit of that happen now. It's I wouldn't say it's quite there yet, but we're starting to see, you know, vendors like, you know, Dell's certainly doing a lot of work in this area with Intel, for example, on the SAA stuff. as well as with Red Hat, who is building a commercial enterprise-ready distribution of OpenStack. So that's how we bring all the pieces mm-hmm. together to sort of address those requirements.
So you talked about the SAA, the Service Assurance Administrator. That was a technology that we announced, I think, in May of this year. Can you talk a little bit about how you've worked with that and what value it delivers to your customers?
Absolutely. So like I said, the enterprise target market we're going after really consider trust, SLAs, and performance as the three key characteristics, aside from, you know, deployability and usability and support lines and all of that stuff, which we are addressing with, you know, Red Hat support and Dell Pro support, et cetera. But to address the trust equation, the security and the performance equation, because that's pretty critical for these customers. We have been working with Intel for the past several months, looking at the SAA technology and seeing how we can bring that into our solution. So we believe that the Intel SAA technology addresses exactly those same concerns around trust.
Mm-hmm.
So making sure that their workloads are running in a trusted environment, that it is secure, that it has not been tampered with by somebody, and there's some level of assurance that those workloads are secure and they're working, they're running in a trusted environment. So that's one piece of it. The other piece of it is, how do I know I'm getting performance that I actually need? So if I'm running take an example, something like a video stream, right? And it requires a certain level of response times from my compute. How do I guarantee that? And today in OpenStack, there's no way of doing that because of the noisy neighbor problem. Because if you're putting a lot of tenants on a host, and one of the tenants is sucking up all the compute and all the cache and all, you know, all the network bandwidth, then all the other guys are getting starved. So how do you make sure, or how do you know that that's happening? And how do you take proactive action in order to address that? So that's kind of where Intel SAA comes in.
So it's basically, from an administration standpoint, thinking about how the underlying hardware attributes are matching up with what the workload requires.
That's absolutely true. And if you look at a traditional, any typical data center, you'll find all generations of servers there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it happens with our customers too. We have a reference architecture for our solution, which, you know, recommends the latest and the greatest servers, you know, 13G servers and 20 cores, et cetera. But customers don't always buy, you know, straight off of the reference architecture. They'll say, hey, I've got a whole bunch of, you know, PowerHR 410s from the 11th generation, you know, 5 years old. I want to use those. Mm-hmm. Now we know that those servers are not as performant as the newest ones. So how do you make sure that when you have such a mix of different kinds of servers with different compute capacities that you are, in fact, getting the performance that you're looking for? And again, Intel SAA is the answer to that because it'll give you a uniform way of specifying the compute that you need,
mm-hmm.
regardless of what server is actually running, you know, underlying bare metal performance requirements. It takes care of all of that for you.
So, Commissioner, you're basically saying that the enterprise still cares what kind of infrastructure is running in their data center.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of existing investments in the data mm-hmm. centers, and they're not going to throw that all away. I mean, they're going to have existing servers, existing networks, and they want to use those servers with the latest, you know, OpenStack technology, and we want to enable them to do that.
So you talked a little bit about the transition from early adoption and CSPs to the enterprises. When you're working with customers today, when you're working with them on their maybe first test and dev or first POC of OpenStack, what are the things that you see that are the challenges that they have to overcome, and how many of those are technology and how many of them are, you know, how their organization actually operates? Mm.
Yeah, the cultural aspects tend to be fairly challenging, mainly because what cloud in general is doing is kind of democratizing the whole, you know, if you look at a traditional enterprise, you've got silos, right? You've got a storage group, and then there's a networking group, there's a security group, and we kind of run into this all the time. We can go talk to the IT guys, and they're all excited about private cloud. We go there and kind of do the first deployment, or try to do the first deployment, and all of a sudden, you know, some guy in the networking group raises a red flag saying, oh, wait a minute, you know, have you guys thought about the networking aspects? How is this going to connect to the rest of the enterprise? Or the security guys come in. So they have to bring together various siloed groups in order to build this common shared infrastructure. So that's a big challenge
mm-hmm.
in any traditional enterprise. So that's on the cultural side. So they need to kind of, you know, have a common vision of what the shared infrastructure is, how it's going to be delivered and operated on, which is not how things happen today. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's a different kind of culture and different ways in which they are being managed. So that's one aspect. From a technology standpoint, like I said earlier, OpenStack is still maturing. There are some mm-hmm. areas that need work, and we have heard a lot in this conference about the upgrade problem, right? So there is a real upgrade problem in OpenStack. So many customers that have one of the earlier versions of OpenStack installed, like Havana or something, are afraid to move to the latest version because there's no easy upgrade path available today.
Right.
It's not like, you know, I want to, you know, press this big red button and everything gets upgraded. No, that's not kind of where we are. That problem needs to be solved. That's number one, right? And then there's still the networking issue around Neutron, which is the networking project within OpenStack. That is kind of in the middle of a transition. We used to have Nova Networking, which was the previous incarnation of Neutron. And we still recommend Nova Networking over Neutron because it wasn't ready as of the last version. It's starting to get there now. So networking, upgrade, ease of use, and ease of deployment is the third major pain point. It's, you know, there are different companies have different ways of deploying OpenStack, and it's by no means standardized, and it's still not very easy to do. Depending on your, you know, complexity of infrastructure, it can take anywhere from weeks to months to get a fairly complex thing up and running. Now, that being said, this is the problem that we are solving at Dell, and with the help of Red Hat, we are coming up with a standardized pre-configured configuration that can be deployed with an automated tool with high availability and including the Intel SAA stuff, which we're going to start integrating going forward. Everything gets seamlessly deployed and installed. And, you know, with the help of our professional services team, we should get the whole thing up and running so the customer can use it within a week.
That's good.
So that's our goal, right? So we're getting there. I wouldn't say there are, all the problems have been solved because things are changing. Every time we get a new version, there are new components to be taken care of, new storage capacities. So it's a moving target. But we're getting there slowly.
It seems like you know, we're just in those growing pains of a community and a solution maturing into something that is more like Linux at the end of the day, where, you know, it's, you know, more predictive code drops, understand what needs to happen when each when each version is delivered, all of the testing and cross-testing that needs to go
and documentation.
On.
So that's
exactly.
You know, we've heard a number of times, not just in this conference. This is my seventh or eighth conference I've been at OpenStack, and it keeps coming up. I mean, I think it has really matured from a documentation and testing point of view in the last three or four releases. So it's getting there because there's a lot of operator and user feedback that's being used now. It wasn't the case initially. It was all developer-led, and it was all features, features, features. Let's keep adding more components, which I think is required because customers are asking for it.
Right.
And it needs to, you know, be on parity with other technologies out there. So I think we've reached a critical inflection point now with the technology where we need to have enough of user and documentation and, you know, the stability and the upgrade stuff, without which I think it's very important at this point for OpenStack to really get into the mainstream enterprise. I think as a community, we are all aware of it, the foundation is aware of it, and we are taking steps to fix those problems. So it's maybe a couple more releases before we are there.
So Kamesh, what do you think we're going to be talking about next fall at OpenStack Summit?
I hope that we'll be talking about very large-scale enterprise deployments. So we have seen some customers come, you know, for the keynotes, talk about some of the early. I mean, CERN was an excellent example. They're running they plan to run 150,000 cores on OpenStack.
That's significant.
Which is amazing, right? I mean, that's probably the largest that I'm aware of. I want to see more and more such customers come on and talk about their real use cases, how they're deploying OpenStack at scale. Howard is production ready. And so we need to get the perception that OpenStack is not ready for prime time go away.
Yeah, that
makes
sense.
That would be my hope. And hopefully that promise will be fulfilled.
Well, Kamesh, it's been a pleasure to talk to you today. Thank you for taking the time out. We hope to have you back on the program soon.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/chipchat. And for more information on data center technologies, visit intel.com/bigdata, intel.com/cloud, and intel.com/datacenteroptimization.